The night was bitterly chill. Frost crusted the black rocks of the mountainside, a glittering reflection of the stars in the clear skies above. Upon the slopes, dragons basked in the pale moonlight, wings outstretched, bodies steaming in the cold air. The wind sighed over the stones, broken by the rasping exhalations of the beasts. Indrognir lifted his silver-scaled head, nostrils flaring. The other dragons responded to the movement, rising from their slumber with a scrape of claws and explosive breaths misting the air. All turned their eyes northwards, where a dark shape flitted across the starry sky. It sped closer, resolving into the silhouette of a large eagle, a young elf clasping tightly to its back. The eagle circled once, followed by the predatory stares of the dragons, and descended in a flapping of wings. The rider's black hair tossed behind him like a veil, his narrow face pinched, eyes tight against the cold.
"I must speak with the Phoenix King,"
declared the new arrival as he leapt from the back of the enormous bird. Brought forth by the call, other elves came out of their tents, weary from the day's fighting. The stranger was garbed in smooth, dark leathers, his shoulders and back hidden beneath a long cloak of black feathers. All recognized him as a Raven Herald, one of the order of scouts that followed the movements of the demons across Ulthuan. The Herald was directed to the Phoenix King's pavilion without delay, and a crowd of elves followed him into the marquee to hear what news he brought. Eorloran and Kalador were first amongst them. The Phoenix King sat brooding upon his throne and looked up at the disturbance.
"What news brings Telranir so far south on such a bitter night?"
"'Tis a bitter night indeed, my king, and not for the weather alone."
The Raven Herald's gaze was fixed upon the Phoenix King. His lip trembled as he spoke, and a tear formed in his eye.
"The demons have fallen upon Avalon, my king, in a great army beyond counting."
Anarion's fingers tightened upon the arms of his chair at the mention of the Everqueen's realm. He leaned forwards, piercing Telranir with his stare. The Raven Herald continued hesitantly, his voice breaking with grief.
"The sacred groves have been despoiled, and many were slain."
Anarion rose to his feet, dread flashing across his face.
"What of the Everqueen? What of my children?"
At this, Telranir fell to his knees, a sob wrenched from his lips.
"Slain, my king."
The silence was as deep as the ocean's depths, swallowing all sound so that it was not broken by the slightest clink of armor nor scuff of foot. Not even a sigh broke the stillness. Anarion slumped back into his throne, head bowed. The wood of the seat splintered between his fingers, and the light of Azurian that forever glowed faintly through his skin grew in brightness. The elves were forced to look away. Such was the glare from their king. And then, like a lantern snuffed out, the light disappeared. Blinking, the elves looked at their king. He straightened, and all save Kalador flinched from the gaze of Anarion. A fire burned in his eyes, each a red ember fringed with darkness, drawing gasps from many that saw it.
"Slain."
Anarion's voice was hollow as it filled the pavilion. The elven princes, whose lives had been filled with battle and terror, clasped each other in their fright. That one word echoed with grief and rage through the core of their spirits. None dared speak. Anarion rose up to his full height, seeming taller than ever before. His fingers curled into fists at his side as he turned his gaze upwards, not seeing the roof of the tent, but staring into the heavens beyond. When he spoke next, the Phoenix King's tone was calm in manner, but carried with it a sharp edge of anger.
"What a cruel fate it is that Moray Haig has spun for me. When our people were beset, I called upon the gods to hearken to our cries of woe, but they did not listen. I called upon Asurion, Lord of the Lord, greatest of the divine, and I offered myself to him for his aid. He laid his blessing upon me, and with his light I have battled the darkness that would engulf our world.
Anarion's eyes fell upon the elves as they cowered further, retreating across the rugs strewn over the floor of the pavilion.
I did what was needed. I took up my spear and my shield and I stood against the demons. For 100 years we have shed our blood in defense of our homes, suffered torture of the spirit and bleak nightmares so that we might one day look upon the summer skies again. Many have been taken from us. The innocent beside the warrior, the babe beside the mother. Each was a sacrifice harder to bear than my own pain within the flames. But I bore each and every without complaint. If the gods demanded that some must pay for the lives of others, it was a price worth paying.
Anarion snatched up his throne and heaved it over his head. With a wordless shout, he dashed it to the ground, smashing it into pieces.
No more! This is a price too heavy for me to pay.
Anarion's gaze next fell upon his banner, hanging limply in its stand beside him. He snapped the pole across his armored knee and tore the cloth from the gilded wood. Opening the flag, he looked at the emblazoned phoenix for a long time, limbs a-tremble, lips twisted in a sneer. The ripping of the cloth made every elf shudder, as if each had been torn apart by their king's hands. Anarion let the two ragged pieces of cloth flutter to the ground. He fell to his knees and tore the pieces into ribbons, casting them about himself like streamers. Tears of yellow flame rolled down his cheeks.
Asurion has no love for me. He does not care for us. He cannot protect us from the evil that will swallow us whole if we do not fight. I cannot be the defender. There is nothing left for me to defend. We are lost. Destroyed.
All of a sudden, Anarion stopped. His eyes narrowed, and he tilted his head to one side as if listening to a distant voice.
There is only one course left to me that can ease this pain. I will destroy every creature of chaos. I will annihilate every demon, slay every mortal thing that crawls and slithers under the gaze of the chaos gods. I will become death. I will become the destroyer. The gods have denied us peace, and so I will give them a war that will end all wars, or see the world itself annihilated.
Kalidor stepped out of the cowering crowd, one hand held out in appeasement.
Be careful, my lord, my friend. Harsh oaths are not soon forgotten.
Anarion rounded on the mage and seized him by the shoulders, staring deep into Kalidor's eyes with orbs of fire.
Tell me, friend, what is it that you see?
Kalidor could not break from Anarion's fierce grip and could not turn aside his gaze from that unnatural stare. The mage lord took a shuddering, involuntary breath, and his eyes turned to gold, reflecting the flames of his king's stare. The two were locked together, the king dark and dangerous with his smoldering eyes and black hair, Kalidor like the light of the moon, hair white and skin pale. The dragon tamer's voice came as a distant whisper, lips barely moving as he spoke.
The elven king wrapped hard in woes, a gifted curse to break his grief, to slay unnumbered his wicked foes, a brightening flame that burns too brief. To gods he turned and to gods he fell, save one alone of dark divine. In blackest heart rings murderous knell, in deepest shadow where no light shines. His slaying shall be as the flood, lets loose the godslayer's ire, drowns the world in seas of blood, burns it all with waves of fire. In the north this doom awaits, luring like flame to moth, promising life of endless hate, bloodshed eternal, uncaring wrath.
and kindled in the fire of rage, born from blood of anger's womb, child of slaughter, cursed for an age, bearer of the Elf King's doom.
Kalidor gave a rattling hiss and fell from Anarion's grip. He crumpled like an empty robe, lifelessly sprawled across the floor. Elf lords rushed forward to attend to the fallen mage, but the Phoenix King did not spare his friend a glance. A fey expression crossed his face even as they pronounced Kalidor still living. Anarion stormed towards the pavilion door, scattering those elves before him. He stood outside on the frost-gripped stone and pointed to the stars of the north.
Yonder lies the Blighted Isle, where sits the dark altar of Bloody Cain. There I shall find his gift wrapped in that black shrine. Godslayer, Widowmaker, Doom of Worlds. No weapon forged by mortal hands, not by the greatest priests of Vol, if they labored for 1,000 years, can bring my revenge. So I will take up that blade made by Vol himself for the bloody-handed one, and with it I shall destroy the demons.
All were too horror-struck to speak out against Anarion, save for Eoloran and Ar. He who had once borne the standard, now lying in tatters, dared to lay a hand upon the Phoenix King's arm.
Did you not hear the words of Kalidor? No mortal may wield the sword of Cain. It is no gift, but a curse, sent to tempt us onto the path of hate and war. No peace can come of such a thing. You doom not only yourself, but all future generations. Do nothing rash, my king. I plead of you. Temper your anger with the wise judgment you have shown before. Do not throw away our future in a moment of rage.
Anarion would not listen and threw off Eoloran's hold, casting his friend to the hard ground.
And you do not listen to my words. There can be no future while demons roam free. Yours is counsel of surrender. Peace must be won through war. And if peace be won, that war must be fought by those that wish to fight it. I am your king, not a tyrant. And I release you all from such oaths as you have sworn to me. When I return, I shall still be your king. And whether you wish to follow me or your own path, I leave to your conscience.
At this speech, the dragons had gathered, looming over the heads of the elves. Anarion now turned to Indrognir.
I ask that you bear me north, to the Blighted Isle, that I might take up the sword of Cain and forever free both my people and yours from the threat of the demon. Feel no injunction that you must carry me, for if you do not wish to do so, I shall walk.
Indrognir wasted no time in replying.
So, you seek a fan to match my own, my friend. The Blighted Isle is a long enough journey for one with wings. I would not wish such a lonely trek upon a friend. The dark gods that now covered our world are not blind, and I fear there will be those that will seek to bar your journey. When I resolved to be your ally, I swore to fight alongside you for good or ill, and my desire has not changed.
All watched aghast as Anarion drew himself into the throne saddle of Indrognir. Some cried out in fear, believing Anarion would not return from his dire quest. They wept as Indrognir soared into the sky with 3 mighty beats of his wings. Dragon and king circled once about the camp, and then turned northwards and disappeared.